Conservation Commission concerning docket number UE-160334. With that, we will go ahead and begin our roll call. We'll be starting with the EIM BOSR members first. Do we have a California representative on the line? Okay, how about Idaho? Nevada?
Commissioner Ann Pongratz and John Candelaria will be joining us.
Thank you. Oregon?
Yes, hi, this is Lisa Hardy.
Hi, Lisa, thank you. And we have Jordan and Wyoming. Okay, do we have representatives from California, Idaho, or Wyoming for the BOSR member commissioners that have just joined the line? Okay, it does not sound like we have the quorum.
Okay. Well, you know, one option we could do, Amy, and I appreciate you making that roll call on it, and I'll let you, I guess, I don't know typically how Commissioner Randall does it, if she asks for other folks from the various states who are on, but because we don't have the necessary five folks out of the eight to do, we have three decisions for votes today. What we might want to do is just, maybe I'll turn it to Commissioner Hardy from Oregon to get her thoughts, but what we may want to do is just tee up those issues as normal and not have a vote because we don't have a quorum, but just to the extent that, you know, we can just even give the limited feedback to the governing body on some of these issues at this point. But I don't know if we have the ability to actually vote, so we may just have to table these. Do you have thoughts, Lisa, on that?
Yeah, Jordan, I think that seems right. But I think it'd be worth going ahead and walking through them and seeing if we have some preliminary thoughts from this call.
Okay. Yeah, that's good because one of the issues, and we'll get to this when I can review the agenda, is a decisional item that is actually being teed up by the governing body for their meeting coming up here in Salt Lake City on April 19th. And so I think even if we can get, you know, if it's just you and I to kind of give some thoughts on it, that might be helpful to them. But anyway, so Amy, do you want to, do you typically call for other folks from different states? Or I'm not sure, I'm a little bit new to this meeting. Is that,
no, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I'll go ahead and do that now. I just wanted to make sure that you had time to address the issue of not having the quorum available.
Yeah. Sure.
So we'll go ahead and open it up to Western commissioners from Alaska, Arizona. Any staff members from Arizona? Okay, Western commissioners from California? Staff members from California?
Christopher McLean, California Energy Commission.
Thank you.
This is Michelle Keita from the California Public Utilities Commission.
Okay, Western commissioner from Colorado? Hawaii? Idaho? Staff from Idaho? Commissioners from Montana? Staff from Montana? Commissioners from New Mexico? And Nevada, I know we heard from Ann. Staff from Nevada?
I'm not the voting member from Nevada, so I just wanted to mention Paul Thompson is the voting member.
Okay, what was your name?
I'm Ann Pongratz.
Oh, you're not the voting member. Okay. Thanks, Ann. Sorry.
Thanks.
Okay, staff from Nevada?
John Candelaria.
Thanks, John. Commissioners from Oregon?
This is Lisa Hardy.
Staff from Oregon? Commissioners with Utah. Staff from... Sorry.
Yeah, we've got Jamie Dalton here too. Sorry, Jamie.
All right, thank you. Chairman Danner, are you on the line for Washington? Okay. Staff from Washington?
Steve Johnson.
And Brian Thomas.
And Commissioner from Wyoming? Staff from Wyoming?
Kara Sieblin.
Okay. Do you want me to go ahead and take any other participants on the line as well, Commissioner White?
Yeah, I think we're probably good to get going.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so thanks for doing that, Amy. Let me just review the agenda really quick, and then we'll get going from there. So as discussed, we're going to have some topics that were previously going to be voted upon, but I think unless we get some other voting members on, we will probably not be taking a vote. So we're first going to just give a quick overview of the upcoming meetings of the BOSR and the governing body. We're going to discuss the agenda item that was indicated, the notification or changes to notification of the BOSR meetings and the agenda, and then also the issue of whether to subsume the EIM BOSR meetings with the EIM governing body for joint meetings. But let me just ask this. Do we have any of the actual governing body members on the call? That's probably important to know.
This is Christine Schmidt from the governing body. I'm on.
Okay, great, Christine. So it may benefit for you just to even hear, you know, the discussion, I guess.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for being... I should have mentioned that earlier. We will... There's a potential upcoming change of the charter that we'll tee up for discussion that is going to be on the agenda item for the upcoming meeting on April 19th in Salt Lake City. That Brian Thomas with Washington staff will discuss. And then Brian will give an advisory committee report from the staff advisory committee. And then we'll talk about next steps and if there's any other additional items, and then adjourn. So just in terms of upcoming meetings, I've already mentioned this a couple times, Salt Lake City, April 19th, and maybe Christine has the details. I know it's at the Courtyard Marriott in downtown Salt Lake for those who are attending. I'm assuming the time that information is available on the EIM governing body's website. The next BOSR meeting will be May 30th. Agenda and times to follow. The next one after that is June 26, 2017. And then the next EIM governing body meeting will be July 13, 2017 in Folsom. And as typical, if you have any items that you'd like discussed or to be brought up on the agenda for the BOSR, feel free to forward those to Commissioner Randall or to Amy or to Brian of Washington staff. Do we have any other, just to ask quickly, I know I heard a couple of dings in here, do we have any of the voting members of the BOSR who have called in by chance? That would be potentially Bill Russell or Paul Thompson or Chris Raper or Michael Picker. Okay, with that, we'll move on. So the first topic that we were going to vote on, but we will not be voting on today, but let's just have a go ahead and have a discussion, is, you know, up to this point, Commissioner Randall and Washington staff, Amy and Brian, have done a great job and have been kind of carrying the water in terms of actually coming up with the agendas and sending that out to folks, and also setting up the conference calls. And conducting those meetings. The issue that we've been kind of kicking around on a couple meetings is, and certainly those who are not in Washington have appreciated the work on this, but the concept of the CAISO staff actually being the ones, we would still, being the BOSR, would still come up with the agenda and would provide that, but they would be the ones who would provide the administrative support of actually sending out the agenda through a market notice, et cetera, and setting up the conference call, the bridge lines, et cetera. And they would kind of, that function would be housed with CAISO staff. In other words, it wouldn't change the voting structure from the boss, or it would just be more of the administrative side. I don't know if Peter Calusi or someone else is from CAISO staff is on the line, but did I get that right? Is that the basic idea?
Yes, Jordan, this is Peter at the ISO, and we had reached out to Ann and mentioned that we would be happy to host and just try to take some of that administrative burden off of the group, but serving no other purpose than just providing that.
Yeah, and I think, and thanks, Peter, and I think I voiced my thoughts on this in the past, which is, I don't see a problem with that. I think it would be very helpful, and I certainly would, you know, take off some of the pressure and expense, et cetera, from Washington State. So I support that. I know that in past discussions, Commissioner Randall has also supported that. And I don't know, Lisa, if you have any further thoughts on that, at least for the benefit of Christine.
Yeah, I think we're comfortable with that. Okay. It seems like that would functionally work just fine from our perspective.
And Commissioner White, this is Brian Thomas. I'm speaking for the Washington staff that have been doing this. Uh-huh. We would willingly pay CAISO to take over this.
Yeah, no, I know that's been a burden, so we appreciate it. Like I said, I know we only have one other, but if there's any other members of the public or whatever that want to give input on this, or, you know, the governing members of the governing body, et cetera, feel free to chime in. Okay, with that, I guess you've heard, Christine and Peter, that at least at this point we don't have a quorum to vote on that, but I think the general thought is that that's a good idea, and we'd appreciate that, and we're open to that. We'll probably table that item for a vote, I guess, till the next meeting, which looks like at this point is May 30th. The next item for discussion, and again without a vote, is the issue or the concept of subsuming the EIM Boston meeting with the EIM governing body for joint meetings. From my understanding on this, and again, Peter or Christine, feel free to chime in here, but what the idea behind this is really that, and I think this is from my experience with other boards, is that under California law right now, the full governing board, there's a lot of names here, can't actually participate or be in the same meeting without that being noticed up pursuant to California open public meetings law. So, again, from my perspective, this wouldn't change necessarily, you know, who drives the agenda, how votes are taken, et cetera. It's just simply that we would be subsumed under their meetings, so all members of the governing body could be present and participate, and everything would be consistent with California law. So, you know, again, from my perspective, I think that's a good thing, but I'll turn it over to, well, first, before I turn it over to for further thoughts from Commissioner Hardy, is there anything further you want to add, Peter or Christine, on that? Am I getting the idea or the concept right on how that would work and what the impetus behind that change would be?
Commissioner White, this is Christine Schmidt, and I think that one of my colleagues, at least Val Fong, is on. We might have a third EIM governing body member on, so I'm going to ask them to chime in as well. I will be honest. I think that what we wanted to talk about, at least I think from the governing body perspective, is that your monthly calls that you all conduct, we would not necessarily look to have those subsumed into the EIM governing body meeting per se. Rather, when we have the opportunity to have joint meetings like we did back in March, end of February, 1st of March, we had our meetings aligned together. And what we had hoped to do was have all five EIM governing members participate in those in-person meetings for opportunities like that. But I don't believe that there was a proposal to have your monthly call subsumed into the EIM governing body meetings, because that, while there wouldn't be more burden on the EIM governing body members, there is an actual requirement that we not only have to meet it, notice those meetings, minutes have to be taken, there has to be a recording, et cetera. And I don't think that we would want to put that burden on the body of state regulators. Instead, I think that this particular construct was, if there's an opportunity for us in the future to have meetings that are concurrent or at least held at the same time, and they're going to be in person, to allow all five governing body members, we would want to have that portion subsumed into our meeting so that we could all participate to comply with the open meeting rules of California and part of our delegated authority. So that was the nature of it, Commissioner White, that I understood the proposal was, is would the body of state regulators have an interest to periodically, not regularly, but certainly with some periodicity, that you would actually join an in-person meeting with the EIM governing body members? And if so, would the body of state regulators be comfortable with having that subsumed under the EIM governing body meeting rules, which means the agenda has to be posted in advance and materials have to be posted X number of days in advance, et cetera. Peter and Jennifer from the ISO are fabulous about working those logistics out, but that would be one of the requirements. But that's my understanding. And Peter and Commissioner White, if you had a different perspective, I'm sorry, but that's my understanding.
No, I appreciate that clarification. That's actually helpful, because I think that there's been an ongoing discussion of whether and how frequent our meetings and whether they need to be monthly or not. So that's helpful to clarify that it would just be for those meetings and not necessarily for every time the sponsor has a call. And from my perspective, again, I don't think that changes my perspective, and what you're saying makes sense, which is that we wouldn't necessarily need to have those noticed up and have the full governing body or governing board attend each and every monthly call, just be for those specific meetings. And that makes sense to me. So I don't know if Commissioner Hardy has any thoughts on that, or because again, from my perspective too, sorry to cut you off, you were going to say something, Lisa, but I think the jury's still out on how often we need to have these and whether it's necessary that we have monthly or not. So it may just be at some point that it turns to that is the kind of the scheduled meetings or the ones that are at the same time as the governing bodies, and then kind of an ad hoc meetings beyond that.
Right. Hi, this is Lisa. It doesn't sound like there are any disadvantages to this group other than some of the procedural compliance issues involved with the broader notice with the larger group. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, and I don't know at this point, the only, because there's really nothing before at least the Utah Commission, I don't know, I can't speak for the other commissions, but I think the only ongoing docket where they're having to comply with notice requirements is Washington. I think at some point that may change. I think certainly if that were the case where there were open dockets or we need to open a docket, I assume what we could do, and maybe Amy or Brian could chime in here too, is that the states could still, even if they were subsumed with that meeting, I guess that you could give your own, notices, etc., for the same meetings like we did in Las Vegas.
This is Amy. That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we'd be comfortable with that.
Okay. Any other thoughts on that other than just that it sounds like, at least from Oregon to Utah, and I know that, Commissioner Randolph from Washington has expressed her support of that concept too. You know, we'll table this until a later time, but I think that, sounds like at least to the extent that those who are on the call feel comfortable with that. So if there's any other folks who want to chime in on that from the public or from the governing body, et cetera, feel free to do so. Okay, with that, I think the next item on our agenda is the governing body charter changes that are going to be up for a decision on the April 19th meeting. I could be wrong on that, but I'll go ahead and turn that over to Brian Thomas of the Washington Commission to maybe tee that up. And I know the staff has had some discussions on this. Brian?
Yep. Thank you, Commissioner White. Yes, it's on the agenda for the 19th for the governing body is a proposed change to the charter for the governing body that would, as I understand it, is a change that sprung from a previous meeting where there was some discussion surrounding charter changes and the role of the governing body in either initiating those changes and approving those changes and then making a recommendation then to the board. As the staff subcommittee had a call last Monday in which we discussed the proposed charter changes, which are very minor in nature. But at the time that we had the discussion, we did not have the CAISO market notice and the accompanying materials that discussed in more detail the proposed changes. Christine Schmidt joined our call and explained sort of the genesis of this whole thing. What we did as a staff committee was we deferred sort of a decision on last Monday on whether to recommend to you, the body of state regulators, whether we thought that the changes were appropriate or not until we could review the market notice. Now, a market notice did come out on April 5th containing basically two documents, and I sent a link around late last week, to everybody that I hope they received, and I hope it was the right link. But in that link, if you kind of could maneuver your way through it, was a memorandum dated April 5th from Roger Collinson, the Vice President and General Counsel of CAISO, to the governing body that describes in a couple of pages the proposed changes. And basically, the gist of the proposed change is to make it clear that that it's the that the body could initiate its own changes and has delegated authority over certain market rules to the body of state regulators and to the RIF, and that they can initiate those changes, and that they really don't need to go to the board on the CAISO board on its regular agenda, but can be handled on the consent agenda. And it just clarifies the role of the EIM governing body in the process, because it was kind of the existing charter is kind of silent with respect to that. And I know I just kind of flubbed that a little bit, but that's kind of the gist. It's just a clarification as a result of the discussion that came up with respect to the regional issues forum about a month ago. The staff advisory committee reviewed. Basically, what we did was we did an email vote at the end of the week, and we don't have a problem with the proposed changes, and would recommend if you were voting today, if you're going to make a decision, that you would recommend to the governing body that you're okay with these changes. Christine Schmidt joined the call today, particularly for this issue. And Christine, if there's things I missed or explained incorrectly, if you want to go ahead and elaborate, that would be great.
Thank you, Brian, and you did a fabulous job explaining the overview. I think that, you know, it just to underscore the concept here is that this is really about clarification of review and responsibility, and I think that Commissioner White, in particular, at the last body of state regulators meeting in Las Vegas, there was a discussion regarding who's going to be approving the changes of anything that's in the charter, and it was based on that conversation from the body of state regulators and the regional issues forum that it became apparent that there wasn't clarity about what is the EIM governing body's role. And so by taking this to Roger Colleton and Steve Berberick at the ISO and saying, you know, we just need to probably make it clear what that role is, and we would like to make that proposal to the Board of Governors. And so in terms of timing, the one thing I would just note is that this is teed up for discussion. The EIM governing body members have not discussed it, but we will be discussing it at the April 19th meeting in Salt Lake City. And if the EIM governing body as a group agrees with these proposed changes, we will vote to take these proposed changes to the Board of Governors for them to consider making these changes for the charter at their May 1st, 2nd meeting. The timing of that is important because we are expecting that the Regional Issues Forum will be coming forward to the EIM governing body's July meeting with some proposed changes to the charter And I believe that it's important for the EIM governing body to review those changes to the charter and make the approval and have that go to the consent agenda for the Board of Governors at their July meeting. So that's the timing of why we're pushing this forward as quickly as we are. But Brian, again, thank you very much for your overview. It was very, very helpful.
Sorry. No, go ahead, Brian.
I was just going to say, so the official recommendation from the advisory committee is that you approve and support them to the governing body. And I do know that Commissioner Rendall indicated support for the changes by email earlier today. I guess we don't have enough of a quorum for that to count, but that's kind of where the staff subcommittee lies. And I guess Commissioner White, you'll have to figure out without a quorum how we can, I guess, informally let the governing body know that we support it or don't.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. And I guess I say that is, I mean, obviously I don't think we're going to try to tee up another meeting to get a quorum here, but I guess what I'd say is that, you know, certainly folks would have the opportunity, the public comment period, to speak to this, not as a whole BOSR, but just individually as commissioners, or, you know, otherwise. I know that, you know, Commissioner Rendall supports this. I've had a chance to review the memo and staff's advice on this, and I agree with it. It makes sense. It's consistent with how the other charter works in terms of certain hybrid issues that go to consent, or not the hybrid issues, but certain issues go to consent to the full Board of Governors. And so, again, it makes sense, and it's consistent with what the governing body needs to do. So, you know, to the extent that helps, you know, and any other members on the governing party members on the call today, Christine, I'm giving you my support. You have Ann's. We can't give you a full stamp of approval from the BOSR, but and I'll let Commissioner Hardy speak to it too. But that's all we can do for today, I guess.
Hi, this is Lisa Hardy. This isn't one we have spoken about here. I don't see any reason that we would oppose that, but it sounds like we're not making a decision today, so I'll take a look and loop back with everyone.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, so I apologize, Christina, if we can't give you an actual, you know, full stamp of approval, but again, to the extent it helps, you know, I don't see an issue with it. I think it's a good change.
And Commissioner White, I just have to say thank you very much, first of all, for, you know, going ahead with the discussion, because if there were some issues of concern that any of the body of state regulators would have, we would want to know about that. So, again, we would encourage, if there is some concern, to put that forward in the public comments. But if there's, and I think we did this previously, is that the staff advisory committee memo, I think it was regarding the stakeholder initiatives catalog, that they supported that. And I know that memo was brought to be, was given to the EIM governing body members as part of the deliberation. So knowing that the staff advisory committee has a position, that would be fantastic as well.
Okay.
So I can write something up that summarizes what the staff committee did and recommended and provide that to you.
Yeah, that might be helpful, Brian. And then, you know, again, although we can't, you know, when Ann gives a report at the April 19th meeting of BOSR, we can't give a full vote. But, you know, perhaps if you were to do that, and if staff were to circulate that to their voting commissioners, and if there's any major concerns, again, maybe they can communicate that back to the public meeting process. But we appreciate the opportunity at least to have a say in this, Christine. And so, again, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, I'll again let Brian Thomas, he's got a report on the staff advisory committee, if he wants to give it.
So, sure. I talked briefly about the meeting that we had, or the call we had last week, and really there were two topics. One was the change that we just talked about to the charter. The other was we as we've done on a couple of previous calls, we started as a committee to walk through some of the initiatives at the CAISO level that are EIM related, the ones that are likely to be teed up or are teed up soon. And we had a brief discussion of each of these initiatives, and our committee, I'll admit right up front, we've only met by phone a couple of times, and we're still getting our sea legs and figuring out exactly what our role should be and operationally what things we should delve into or not delve into, and we're trying to generate discussion amongst the various states to avoid it being sort of Washington state centric. But so we haven't really delve in great detail into these new initiatives, but we did have a brief discussion on each of them. Steve Johnson, who is part of the policy staff at the Washington Commission, is on the call today, and Steve's going to walk us through the initiatives that are closest on the horizon and kind of give just a general overview. And before I turn it over to him, let me just say that the committee, I think as a long-term objective, we would like to start getting to the point where we could analyze an issue and come back to you with a recommendation or some thoughts, or even perhaps a recommendation to prepare some joint state comments on various initiatives that occur at the CAISO. But we haven't gotten there yet, just to be candid. But we're, maybe as we keep going, we will get there. But in the meantime, these initiatives are headed headed towards us. Steve's going to tee them up so that you're informed about them a little bit. We don't have any recommendations for you today on any of them. And with that, let me turn it over to Steve.
Yeah. Hello. This is Steve Johnson with the Washington Utilities and Transportation Commission. And so good news is we don't have any decisions. Bad news, we have some details. There are three initiatives I'm going to point out that have near-term activities. There are two new initiatives put onto the roadmap that are EIM-related that I want to highlight, even though they don't yet have any schedule to them. And then I'll just mention quickly two items that have dropped off the roadmap that were EIM-related. So the first of the three issues that have near-term activities is the storage and aggregated distributed energy resources initiative. Now, we have staff interest in this, and I think it is something I will be looking into. Several other staff will probably join in. Unfortunately, the STROP proposal hasn't come out yet, so we're waiting. That'll come out April 18th. There'll be a stakeholder call on April 25th, and then there are formal comments due the CAISO May 5th. And so that's an opportunity to put together some comments individually or as a group. This storage initiative really has to do with creating bid sheets and evaluation systems and the right metering points. It's fairly technical. It doesn't have a huge number of policy questions, but it does have a few. So we'll be monitoring it and focusing on the parts that are most useful to the states. The second one is the generator contingency modeling and remedial action scheme modeling initiative. Now, you may not know what all those things are, but suffice it to say that without modeling those things, the market is a little less efficient, not quite as least cost as it could be if you were able to model these elements of the system conditions. And so it's a good initiative. Of course, it's the devil in details. CAISO has to make the details work. A revised STRA proposal was issued in March, mid-March. It was a call in late March, and comments were due just last week. It was a fairly technical presentation. For instance, I believe the presentation was, 27 or 30 pages long or something. But I have communicated with PacifiCorp. I don't want to represent their position, but they just filed comments, and they did speak in support of this, though there's an optionality to implement this in the EIM, and PacifiCorp is sort of waiting to make sure we get the details right before, sort of launching it. So we're looking for the completion of those details, and by the way, that's to come before the CAISO board in July. The third item is commitment cost and a default energy.
Steve,
yeah?
Why don't you check to see if there are any questions from folks as you go through each one?
Yeah, why don't I just finish this one, and if people want to ask a question, I'm more than willing to provide a deeper description of the categories of initiatives. So the commitment cost and DEB or default energy bids is scheduled for comments on May 4th. This is a somewhat technical issue, too. It has to do with making sure generators get enough compensation. It's kind of equivalent to getting in a cab and riding five blocks. They have a drop fee for you that may not be the Lyft and Uber world anymore, but the old cab world, you had a drop fee. So it's a little bit like that. If you're going to start me up and run me a short period of time, the generator needs a little bit more compensation than just the per megawatt rate. And so we'll be looking at that initiative too. So those are the three active initiatives. And before I talk about the two new initiatives, if there are any questions or any other information I can provide.
No, thanks. None here. That's helpful. I mean, from my perspective at least, we'll just kind of, take our cues from you. If there's something that you think is important for us to know, I know you guys are still kind of evolving in terms of the issues you want to kind of take a deeper dive on. We understand that. So we'll, from my perspective at least, I'll kind of wait for further thoughts and instructions on what specific initiatives we need to focus on.
Yes. Thank you, Jordan. And if your state's trying to work on storage issues, then the work that CAISO is doing is probably very informative. I think at this point, the generator contingency and RAS scheme is just to watch it evolve and see how well the details are being worked out so that when it's implemented, it works correctly. Anyway, so let me go on to the other two new initiatives. Really thankful that the CAISO added some EIM-related issues into their roadmap when time allowed. The first is donation by third party of transmission capacity available for EIM transfers. Now, that's a little complicated sounding, but they're parties that are not EIM VAs, and they have transmission, and flows go across their transmission system to from one EIM entity to the other into the CAISO from an EIM entity, and there's issues about cost recovery and how to treat that transmission capacity. It's basically a market seams issue between the structure of the EIM and the classic OAT tariff, and that's an important one in certain regions. I think it's important in Washington State because we have Bonneville as a big presence here, and they have a stake in this question. The second one is EIM wheeling rate, and this is the charge between for wheels or movements of power between two EIM VAs, this could improve the market efficiency. I would describe it as reducing the friction or cost of moving power between the entities and making also sure they're equitable issues between the EIM entities. Both of these, I think, will have policy questions because there's more than one way to skin the cat. Again, these have not had any scheduled straw proposals or meetings yet, but I do think these both will be important to EIM, to the BOSR, and I think the staff will end up spending some time on them. Any questions on those two items?
Not here.
Okay, and then I'm just going to mention that the step constraint parameters and the bid cost recovery enhancement initiatives dropped out and kind of got moved around to FERC notice of rulemakings. So while we were momentarily following them, they kind of were canceled and moved around, so we're not following them actively anymore. But that's kind of the near-term outlook the staff has for issues that they'll keep up with. Any other questions?
Yeah, not for me, that's helpful. Thanks. Sounds like there's a lot going on. I'm glad you guys are focusing on those.
Thank you. Thank you.
Brian, anything further from staff on the committee report?
No, I don't think so. But I will do the write-up, as we discussed earlier, on the charter change recommendation from the committee, and I'll get that out later this week.
Okay, perfect. That'd be helpful. Thank you. With that, again, just a reminder again, to circle back, we had a couple of decisional items. We didn't have a quorum, but certainly folks, if they want to, as individual commissioners or what have you, on the April 19th meeting, they can, of course, comment in public to the extent that helps. If you're coming to Salt Lake and if you want to ski, let me know. We've got plenty of snow still here, and it'll be nice next week. But other than that, is there any other items that we need to address today on this call? Okay, hearing none, we'll go ahead and adjourn this meeting. And like I said, we'll look forward to the next call and the agenda items forthcoming. Thanks for everyone for joining.
Thank you. The March 29th, 2017 open meeting is now adjourned.